Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. A phrase that we get from our Lord's ministry with his disciples. In Matthew 4, verse 18 to 22, we look at the context of these words. So we invite you to follow along with the sermon notes that have been prepared for you. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said. "I'll make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. We want to look just for a few moments this morning at these words of Jesus as they speak a word to each one of our hearts as well. These words are both a call and a challenge. First in your notes, number one, these words are the call of Jesus. They're the call of Jesus. We want to look at this call in depth in a moment. But first, let me ask the question, what makes any call important? We have all kinds of demands, commands, calls upon our life. That's always true. We will have 20 or 30 orders to follow every day. Now, we have that ability, especially as husbands, to filter out the unimportant calls from the important calls, right? We filter out those that need our attention and our affection, those things that we do not deserve. But when Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 4, "Come, follow me, I will make you fishers of men," I think that there are two things that make a call very important. Both of them are involved in this call of Jesus to his disciples, his call to us as well, to be fishers of men. The first thing in your notes that makes a call important, number one, the person who's doing the calling. The call becomes important, not because of what they said, but by whom it said it. Who is the person calling? The person on the other end of the line, a phone line, makes that phone call very important. When my kids will call me, I try to clear everything so that I can be available to them. They are important. It's not so much what they have to say, but we can spend 4 or 5 minutes just talking. But it's the person who is calling that makes it important. In fact, when I tell Faye that Cindy called while I was at church today, she will ask, "What did she have to say?" Well, most of the conversation wasn't about much, but the call was very important because of only one reason. She's our daughter. It was also who was calling. The day that Jesus walked by these disciples, his call was important because the call was being made by Jesus. This wasn't just an ordinary person asking them to do an ordinary task. He was important. When Jesus calls, people listen. The second thing that makes a call important, number two, is the message itself. The message itself, what is said in the call, makes it important. Sometimes the person who is calling us, we don't even know. But there is something that they say to us that makes that call important. Isn't that right? How many of you older people can remember what you were doing when you heard that John F. Kennedy was shot? I can remember the message as if it was yesterday. But I do not really know who was the person who told me, but the message. The message is what made it so important. So when Jesus walked by these disciples on the Sea of Galilee, his message, it had double impact. Number one, it was who made it. It was Jesus. And number two, it was his message. his incredibly challenging message. Follow me, Jesus said. I'll make you fishers of men. Now let me share with you three major periods of Jesus' life, of Jesus' ministry. I give you there a little background so that you will understand how Jesus actually called his disciples. You might think that he just walked by these men one day and said to some strangers who had been fishing, "Hey guys, follow me." And the stranger said, "We don't know who you are, but we'll follow you." That's not the way it was. There are three periods in Jesus' ministry. The first period, number one in your notes, is what we call the come and see period. This come and see period lasted, in your notes, 4 months. 4 months. John chapter 1 through 4 tells us that this period in Jesus' life was the period in which the disciples simply observed Jesus. It was a time of observation. It was a period that the disciples could observe Jesus' priorities and the priorities that Jesus was modeling before his disciples. And there were two priorities. Number one in your notes is obedience. Obedience is seen in John chapter 2 when Mary said, "Whatever Jesus says to you, do it." The first thing that Jesus worked upon the disciples and their lives is in this area of obedience, of having faith and trusting him for the impossible. There was this priority of obedience. But also number two is the evangelism. In John chapter 3, the story of Nicodemus, who was a religious man, and in John chapter 4, is the woman at the well, an immoral woman. And these two are complete opposites. Jesus wins them with the words that he shares and cares for them. In these 4 months, these are basically the two things Jesus taught his disciples. He taught them obedience, and he modeled evangelism. Then Jesus sent them back home. Now, it was in the second period of Jesus' ministry that Jesus actually called his disciples to follow him. The second period, number two, in your notes, is called come and follow period. The come and follow period. The come and see period was the first one. It lasted 4 months. The second period, come and follow, lasted 10 months. 10 months. So in your notes, this is a time now of greater commitment. Jesus calls his disciples to be fishers of men. This is when Jesus initiates his ministry with them. He asks them to follow him, and he wants them to be fishers of men. And this is not just the first time he saw them at the Sea of Seashore. They had spent time with Jesus already. They had observed him before. They had seen him talk with Nicodemus and with the woman at the well. They had seen Jesus win two totally different people, a religious person and a person of bad character, in two different situations. They had seen his first miracle at Cana in Galilee. Then they had gone home. They had thought about it. It was the second time now the disciples heard from Jesus, and they were now ready to come and ready to follow him. The third period of Jesus' ministry, in your notes, is called the come and be with me period. The come and be with me period of Jesus' ministry was the larger part of his ministry. It lasted, in your notes, for 20 months. This is a step beyond the first two. This is where Jesus spent the rest of his life on earth, 20 months of his ministry, and he would prepare them to be his disciples and how also to disciple others. Jesus brought his disciples along slowly. Period number one, come and see, and there they just simply observed. Then it was come and follow me, and here Jesus took them by the hand. And finally Jesus said, come and be with me. We will have a relationship, and I will empower you to be a discipler of others. See, this is the preparation in your notes. Preparation to disciple others. To disciple others in the come and be with me period. Jesus shares with us five important principles that we all need to know about. Because not only are we being challenged by Jesus' words to be fishers of men, but we're going to come into contact with others with whom we will want to be inviting to join us to become fishers of men. So these are the five principles on the back of your sermon notes. Number one, first principle, choose people. Choose people is our method of evangelism. Jesus is teaching us to choose people. People is the method through which we are to produce fishers of men. The second principle, number two, expose people. We expose people, give them a taste of the ministry. In other words, come and see. I'll show you. You can observe what is happening. Jesus gave them an initial taste, what it would be like to be fishing for men. They saw him with Nicodemus. They saw him with the woman at the well. Expose people to the ministry. The third thing that Jesus did is in this come and be with me phrase, period. Number three, enlarge people. Jesus enlarged people. Jesus gave his people and disciples a vision of what they would become, a vision of their potential. Jesus knew that they were not fishers of men at first. They had not brought one soul into the kingdom yet. But Jesus knew that when he called them, and that doesn't matter. And that was no excuse. Jesus tells them that he will make them right the way they are into fishers of men. In fact, most of them were really duds following Jesus. But Jesus would make them right into fishers of men. And the fourth principle, number four, Jesus models for people. Models for people. Jesus motivates his disciples not just with his teaching, but by modeling. The fifth principle is more difficult. I have difficulty with this one also. Number five is wait on people. He'll wait on people. Jesus gave his disciples time. He gave them space. He didn't pressure them. He sent them home. He gave them time to think about it. These principles can be principles that we ourselves use. We choose people. I am one of God's people to be fishing for men. You and I are in the hands, the feet, the mouth of Jesus today, who have been chosen to win the world. Then we expose people. Am I being exposed, or am I open to sharing the message of Jesus with others? Do I actually see opportunities? And next, enlarge people. Am I catching the vision of reaching lost people, bringing them to Christ? A vision of what I can become because I let Jesus make me into a fisher of men. Do I model for people? Am I walking the talk? Do I work with the tools of our outreach? Do I show others how? And then we wait. We wait on people, and that is key. We must be persistent. Yes, we must do our work. Once the rule was, unchurched people today need seven contacts before they will make a response to Jesus. But in our culture today, it now actually takes, we're told, 17 contacts. Can we be patient? Can we wait as we work? Or do we stop working? Do we stop witnessing? We look at depth at the call of Jesus to his disciples and also to us. Secondly, number two in your notes, we look at the challenge of Jesus. The challenge of Jesus. In Matthew 4, verse 20, we read, "At once they left their nets and followed him." There's a quote in your notes. The fishermen instantly dropping their nets to follow Jesus caused the salesman to drool, the politician to turn green with envy, the psychologist to scratch his head. They asked the same question. Why did those guys immediately follow Jesus? Quickly in your notes, I'd like to suggest three reasons. Three reasons why I believe these disciples immediately followed. Why any disciple follows Jesus. Number one, in your notes, a disciple follows Jesus because they've already been with Jesus. They've been with Jesus. When they have been with Jesus for those 4 months, they had seen life-changing experiences. They had seen his miracles. They had witnessed a religious leader coming to Jesus, how Jesus questioned him. They had witnessed an immoral woman at the well who had received the good news. She told the whole town about Jesus. The disciples immediately left their nets because they had been with Jesus. So also today, we disciples will follow Jesus only when we spend time with Jesus. Number two, a disciple immediately follows Jesus because they have given an invitation without responsibility. Jesus gave them an invitation without responsibility. An invitation, that's important. Did you notice that follow me invitation is very, very simple? Jesus is putting the full responsibility of making these disciples the fishers of men upon himself. He says, I will make you fishers of men. And the pressure is on Jesus. In your notes, Jesus assumed full responsibility. He would bear the weight of their training. He would not ask them anything that he himself had not shown to them. See, Jesus doesn't say to Peter, Peter, I want you to follow me because the future of the church all rests upon you. No. And Jesus doesn't say to those disciples, follow me. And let me tell you right up front, you're all going to die martyr deaths, be imprisoned, suffer great bodily harm, endure many lonely hours. No, Jesus keeps the invitation very, very simple. In fact, in the first two periods of his ministry, Jesus did not even talk about the cross and the crucifixion. They weren't ready to handle that yet. So Jesus says simply, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. The third reason the disciples immediately followed Jesus, and we also today. Number three is because Jesus calls them to a vision and not just to a job. Jesus calls them to a vision and not just to a job. And that's so important. See, when the evangelism board and our callers on Monday evenings used to begin recruiting for a new Lutheran information class, it was not just a job they had. It was not a few callers going out every Monday or a few board members meeting or the pastor setting up appointments. The mission is tied directly to the Great Commission of Jesus, to marching orders that Jesus gave to his church. When he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing, teaching, and surely I am with you always to the ends of the earth. That is the vision. So I have a quote printed in your notes. One of man's greatest fears is that life will not count. He will look back at the investment of his time and energy only to conclude that somehow it was a waste. Men's hearts are not set aflame by simply the mundane. People are not motivated by the prospect of building a monument of mediocrity. Because Solomon says, Proverbs 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. There's nothing more motivating than having a vision. And a vision given by God for his church, knowing that your day is dedicated to bringing a lost soul to Jesus. One final lesson in your notes. The closer a person is to a critical spirit, the closer a person is to a critical spirit, the further away he will be from fishing for men. The closer to a critical spirit, the further away you'll be from fishing for men. Now there's a story about an old grandfather and his hunting dogs. He said, when it's hunting time, these dogs are docile. They get along well in the pen. They are patient with each other. But when it's not hunting season, these dogs begin to bicker and fight and yelp, and they nip at each other. Do you know why? The farmer said, "Oh man," the old man concluded, these dogs were made for hunting. And when these dogs are able to get out in the fields and hunt rabbits and birds, they're happy dogs. They're content. They got along with all the other dogs. But they stop hunting, and their nature will start to pick on each other. And that's exactly the way it is in the church. When our eyes are on Jesus, when we are committed to following Him, that's when the petty things of life are no longer bothering us. Because we each are made by God, and we are committed to becoming fishers of men. Amen.